the new heaven and earth will be inhabited by a godly seed. Isaiah 66 and verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So he said that, the seed would remain. Now, he's not talking about a wicked seed or evil seed. He's talking about a righteous seed, a godly seed. So who's going to inhabit this new heaven and new earth? It will be the godly, right? It will be the righteous. It will be those who have washed their robes in the blood of Christ, right? Those will be the ones that inhabit this new heaven and earth. And then the new heaven and earth will be filled with righteousness and not evil. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So the new heaven and the new earth will be filled with.
The teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of New Heaven, New Earth. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of New Heaven, New Earth.
At the church. And so you look at that and you say, well, they might not have been able to come to their home church for service, but praise God that they're home right now, that they are home. They are in their real home. You know, I've told the story on many occasions about a missionary and his wife who had served God for many years on the mission field. And they decide to retire and come home. And as they came home on a boat, they came to the dock in New York, and there was a great statesman, a politician, who had gone overseas for a couple weeks and worked out some kind of deal, and everybody was excited. And so when they came back, there was a big welcome for this politician. There was a parade that was waiting for this politician. They had confetti, you know, for this politician. And there was a sign that said, welcome home. And as they came in, the missionary looked at his wife and said, you know, we served God all these years. You know, there's no parade for us. There's no confetti for us. There's not even a sign that says, welcome home. And his wife looked up at him and she said, could it be? Because we're not home yet. Could it be because we're not home yet? And so we look at, you know, our loved ones, and they are home, right? What a blessing it is to know they are home. And so one of the reasons that we can't call this earth our home is because it's going to be destroyed. And it's going to, and according to Isaiah, that it's not going to even be remembered anymore. We're not even going to remember this earth. And again, let me just go back and read that verse in Hebrews about Abraham, you know, where it says that he confessed that he was a stranger and pilgrim on this earth. He was a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. The new heaven and earth will be inhabited by a godly seed. Isaiah 66 and verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So he said that the seed would remain. Now, he's not talking about a wicked seed or evil seed. He's talking about a righteous seed, a godly seed. So who's going to inhabit this new heaven and new earth? It will be the godly, right? It will be the righteous. It will be those who have washed their robes in the blood of Christ, right? Those will be the ones that inhabit this new heaven and earth. And then the new heaven and earth will be filled with righteousness and not evil. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So the new heaven and the new earth will be filled with righteousness and not evil. I might come back to that a little bit later. So we got the new heaven and we got the new earth. All right. So again, saints, if anybody tries to tell you how the world is going to end, and they say anything other than what the word of God says, then you can mark them up as a false prophet, because they don't know what they're talking about. Well, let's put it this way. They don't know the Bible, because the Bible tells us how it's going to end, and that God is going to create a new heaven and new earth. But we also see in Revelation 21 that there's going to be a new Jerusalem. So we got a new heaven, we got a new earth, and we got a new Jerusalem in Revelation 21. John says in verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. The New Jerusalem will come down from heaven. It will be prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. The word adorned comes from the Greek word cosmeo, which we get the English word cosmetics. The New Jerusalem, saints, oh my goodness, it is going to be a beautiful sight to behold. So you got a new heaven, you got a new earth, and you got a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Revelation 21, 9 through 11, we see the description of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem was called the bride of the Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife. And so there's a couple different views as to what that means, but it was called the bride, the Lamb's wife. The New Jerusalem was called that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, in verse 10. The New Jerusalem descended out of heaven. This indicates the origin of the city, that the city originated in heaven, and it comes down out of heaven. In verse 11, the New Jerusalem reflected the glory of God. It was like a stone most precious. It was like a jasper stone, very costly, like a diamond. The city is like a large jasper stone reflection of the magnificence of God, that this city will reflect, man, the glory of God, the magnificence of God. You know, again, I believe that's why, and I know he was talking about salvation, but I believe to some degree, Paul was talking about, you know, the eternal state when he said that I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. My goodness, man, this New Jerusalem is going to be a beautiful place beyond our comprehension, like nothing we can imagine. The New Jerusalem, it says that it will have a wall around it in Revelation 21, verses 12 through 14. It said, and had a great, a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and the gates, 12 angels, and the names written on the gates, which are the meaning of the 12 tribes of Israel, and on the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had the 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So around the bottom of the wall, or the wall of the city, it's going to have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's also going to have the names of the apostles. Now, in your notes, let me just read why we see that it's going to have the names of the apostles, okay, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. In your notes on page 2, talking about the New Jerusalem, the wall had 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. At the top of each gate was written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And at the foundation of each gate was written the names of the 12 apostles. The wall symbolizes two things. First, spiritually, it signified God's people who were under the old covenant, right? The 12 gates with the 12 tribes of Israel. They were under the old covenant. And then it symbolizes people that were under the new covenant, which were who? The 12 apostles. All right. So it'll be a reminder of the two covenants, the old covenant with the 12 tribes of Israel and the new covenant with the 12 apostles. Now, again, somebody might ask the question, well, weren't there only 11 apostles? Didn't Judas, he committed suicide, and many people, believe that Judas went to hell. And so who's that 12th apostle? And we see in the book of Acts that they chose another apostle, but you never hear about him. I believe that God's choice for that 12th apostle was the apostle Paul. So I think that it will be Paul's name who will be in the gate, the one who replaces Judah. So Judas. So we see that there will be the 12 tribes. Their names will be in the gate or in the wall, and the 12 apostles will be there. And notice this. Second, the wall around the city meant that it was well protected. The idea of protection here is reinforced by angels who stand at each gate. There will be no need for protection in eternity because the enemy will be destroyed. So this wall represents two things. It's a reminder of God's past protection. That throughout eternity, those angels that stand there protecting the wall, again, you're going to be in heaven. There's not going to be any sinners. There's not going to be anybody trying to do anybody harm. So you don't have to worry about, any wrongdoing. So why are these angels going to be there? The angels will serve as a reminder of God's protection, that he is a shield and he has protected us, that throughout eternity, we will have that reminder that, man, God protected us. And also it's a reflection of God's character. God is called a fortress, which referred to a walled construction that was built for a defensive position. So this wall will ever be a reminder of a mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress is our God. Man, just think. This city comes down from heaven. It's suspended above Jerusalem or above the earth. Around the city is a wall with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel at the top, the names of the 12 apostles at the bottom, with angels guarding each gate. But it don't stop there. Notice that John said he gave the measurements of the city in verses 15 through 17. He said, and he talked with me and had a golden reed to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city was four square, and the length of it as large as the breadth, and the measure of it, and he measured with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. And he measured the wall 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, of the angel. So it was a four square city. It was a completely square city, like a cube, right? And it was 12,000 furlongs in height, length, and width. Well, 12,000 furlongs, what is that? That's 150,000. I mean, excuse me, that's 1,500 miles. That the city was 1,500 miles square. Now, to give you some indication of what that, okay, I guess I must have took that out. I had a diagram of 115 miles and how it would cover the United States. And it covered that this city would cover almost two-thirds of the United States. That's how wide and how long it was. And that's not even talking about the height. And so, you know, we see that at 15,000 miles, that gives us a good indication. I mean, 1,500 miles, that gives us a good indication of how big this New Jerusalem is. Like I said, it will cover, you know, pretty much two-thirds of the United States as we know it. And then at the bottom of the city was the wall. And the wall was about 200, some people say 216 feet, some people say 250 feet. So that wall was around the bottom of the city. So we have the New Jerusalem will be a perfect cube, 15,000 miles high, 15,000 miles long, and 15,000 miles wide. I keep saying 15,000, 1,500, 1,500 miles. All right. Now look at the foundation, the stones in the foundation of the wall. Wow. You know, the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So in this wall, look at the beauty just of the wall. The stones in the foundation of the wall were jasper and sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius, crystallite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprasus, jacinth, amethyst, you know, and if you look at the different colors, you know, blue, green, red, gold, violet, purple, man, this was all in this wall of the New Jerusalem. This city that came down, this four square city, man, what a beautiful sight to behold. And then the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21 and verse 21, it says that there were pearly gates. It had gates of pearl. And there you see a rendition of the gates with the pearls in front of it. And then you got the angel guarding each gate, right? To remind us of God's protection. And then you got streets of gold in this New Jerusalem. Revelation 21 and verse 21. Unbelievable. You know, I heard somebody say that down here, people fight another person, they rob another person, and they kill another person to get the gold. In heaven, God throws it on the streets and lets us walk on it. So we see, you know, these streets of gold in heaven. So, you know, somebody would ask the question, you know, are all these things, you know, should we take these things literal, you know, or are they just symbolic of the beauty of heaven and the beauty of the New Jerusalem? You know, I, you know, again, I'm going to take it literally. You know, why did God go into giving us all this detail about the measurements, about the stones that would be in? Why would he go through all that detail if it was all meant to be taken symbolic? So I'm going to take it literally. So today we've looked at the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. Now, let me just close out by doing this, because there's been different explanations as to these three things. Some people say that there will be three different locations and that we will have the freedom to travel between each location. There'll be the new heaven, where we'll have access to go to the new heaven. There'll be the new Jerusalem, where we'll have access to go to the new Jerusalem. And then there'll be a new earth. And, you know, we will live here on the new earth. So some people, you know, say that they are, that they're three separate things. Then somebody else will say, well, the new earth is one thing, but the new Jerusalem and the new heaven are the same thing. So you see the difference there. The first one, you know, it says that they're three different entities, whereas the second one, it says that they're just two different entities, that the new Jerusalem and the new heaven are the same thing, you know. So, you know, we shouldn't separate them. And then you got the new earth. And then there's a third view, which says that all three are just represent heaven, that the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, and the new earth are the same place, that there, it's just three different descriptions for heaven. So, you know, in the first view, you have there are three different places. In the second view, it says there are two different places, that the new Jerusalem and the new heaven are the same thing. And then in the third view, they're just all one place. So, you know, again, I would have a tendency, and this is me, I'll just give you my point of view. I would have a tendency to look at them as three different entities, but there's good arguments for the fact that they could be just two. And there's a good evidence that it's all just one. So just wanted to leave that with you as we think about the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. But keep in mind that the current heaven and earth will be recreated, will be destroyed and recreated. And then, you know, we will take our place in eternity. So as we look at things, we see that on God's calendar, the next thing is the rapture. Then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And then after the tribulation, Christ will come back and he will set up his millennial kingdom, where he will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. So don't confuse the millennial kingdom with eternity, right? Yeah. The new heaven, new Jerusalem, yeah. The new earth. Don't, they're separate entities. So yes. Don't say that the millennium is the same as heaven, because it's different. So again, you might want to go back and get those notes if you don't have them that I taught. I taught a whole lesson on the millennium. And so the millennium is different from heaven. So I just wanted to point that out. Okay.
Joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the start of a new series titled Going for the Gold. If you would like to request an audio copy of the message, New Heaven, New Earth, you can contact us at andkurtandjesus.org and request New Heaven, New Earth. That's And Kurt and Jesus, New Heaven, New Earth from our Bible Prophecy series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, andkurtandjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send a financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.